Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we concluded our look at the direct examination of Marion Proctor, the sister of Maggie Murdoch. We also began our review of the defense cross-examination of the witness. In this installment, we continue our review of Jim Griffin's questioning of Ms. Proctor. That's all coming up right after the break.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It is the afternoon of February 14th, 2023, day 15 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, under cross-examination by defense attorney Jim Griffin, Maggie Murdoch's older sister, Marion Proctor, testified about what she knew of Maggie's activities in the hours before her death. As we begin this installment, Griffin asks Ms. Proctor about the moment she learned about the deaths of her sister and her nephew.
You and Bart received an awful phone call on the night of the 7th about Maggie and Paul's death, right?
We did.
And it was from John Marvin?
Randy. Sorry, I misspoke earlier. Yeah.
And one of the requests was that you and Bart go and tell your parents in person, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that they requested, but I knew we had to do that in person.
So you did that in person?
Yes.
And then the next day, you came to Moselle with your parent?
Correct.
And Alex, was he grieving greatly?
Oh, terribly.
I mean, people have described him as being destroyed. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes.
And Buster was there?
Yes.
Leading up, Maggie enjoyed being with being at Edisto over Moselle in the summertime.
Correct. I think most people would.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it a lot more than being at Moselle.
Right.
But Alec had to stay at Moselle or did stay at Moselle because his work was right there in Hampton, right?
Right.
And Alec was constantly wanting Maggie to come back and stay with him at Moselle.
Perhaps. I'm not sure. I don't think he really liked being by himself.
When he asked Maggie to come back on the 7th, I mean, you didn't think that was really an unusual request because he wanted to be with Maggie.
Right.
He didn't like to be by himself.
I did not think it was unusual, and that's why I encouraged her to do so.
From your conversation with Maggie, you knew that Paul was going to be there.
Correct.
Right. Do you know why Paul was going to be there? Had you heard?
I didn't know at the time. Okay. I know now.
But anyway, you encouraged Maggie to go be with Alec because, you know, his dad was in bad shape, right?
Right.
Now, after Maggie and Paul were murdered, Mr. Randolph died 2 days later, I believe, or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very difficult time for everyone, wasn't it?
Very.
And there were two funerals, one on a Saturday for Maggie and Paul, and one on Sunday for Mr. Randolph, right?
Ms. Proctor nods. Jim Griffin continues.
After a day or so, did Alec and Buster come to Somerville and stay with your parents?
Yes.
And did they stay with your parents a lot after the murders?
Yes, especially Alec.
Yeah, Alec. And you, to your knowledge, did Alec ever spend another night at Moselle after the murders?
He did not.
He stayed with your parents. He stayed. He visited with you and your husband and family down at Key West at some time at the end of July, is that right?
He did.
And then he and Buster came up to Greenville up at one point in time?
They did.
And he was staying with his brother Randy at times. He was all over the place.
He was.
Now, you mentioned that after the murders that Alex said that he was very intent on clearing Paul's name from the boating accident, right? And you knew that Maggie felt very strongly that Paul was not driving the boat when beautiful Mallory Beach came to her tragic death, right?
Correct.
I mean, Maggie was adamant. She was on a mission to clear Paul's name, was she not?
Sort of.
And you're not critical of Alex for wanting to clear Paul's name after he was murdered, do you? Are you?
I'm not critical about that at all. I think that was his way of honoring Paul after he was gone. I just thought his priority should have been focusing on finding out who killed Maggie and Paul.
And how do you know that wasn't a priority?
We never talked about it. We never talked about finding the person who could have done it. It was just odd. And we were sort of living in fear because we thought this horrible person was out there, and we were mostly afraid for Alec and Buster, but we didn't know the motive behind the killings. We thought it probably had something to do with the boat case.
Right.
And we thought that up until September.
Right.
And then things started to change a little bit.
Sure. Well, were you aware that Alec started carrying a gun after the murder? You didn't know
Alec
that?
Alec always carried a gun.
What's that?
He always carried a gun.
On his person that he started carrying a gun. Mm-hmm. Were you aware of that?
I knew he usually had one in his car.
Right.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Defense Attorney Jim Griffin continues his cross-examination of Marion Proctor by asking her about the Murdoch family dogs.
I want to ask you just one topic kind of questions. Bubba was Maggie's and Alec's dog, is that
mm-hmm.
right? Bubba could be a little hard-headed, we've heard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Bubba. I think Bubba could be a handful.
But it's pretty clear that Alec could control Bubba pretty well?
Yes.
And Maggie enjoyed going down to the kennels, as far as you know, to play with the dog?
She did.
And she was a dog lover?
She was.
And you're a dog lover?
I am.
And you'll have dogs. You know that they didn't allow dogs in the house at Moselle?
Correct.
Because of, I don't know.
Allergies.
Yeah, allergies.
Right. But they had a big porch, and there were dog beds all outside on the porch. And,
right.
You know. Huge buckets of water, and when I was there, the dogs were always up there at the house.
Did you know there was an electric fence around?
I did not know that there was an electric fence, but...
And did Maggie and Alec let dogs in the house down at Evanston?
I don't think so. They stayed mostly underneath the house. She had a pen,
right.
Big pen down there.
So they had a dog run type thing
mm-hmm.
underneath the house?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And did you ever go to Evanston and visit with...
Yes.
With Maggie and Alec and their family?
Yes.
And were Paul's friends and Buster's friends welcome at...
Always.
At Edisto and at Moselle?
Yes.
And
Maggie loved having the boys' friends around.
And I think you mentioned this, but Moselle, was Moselle Paul's passion?
Yes.
He loved that place?
Yes.
And Alec enjoyed being there with Paul? Is that
yes,
right?
He did.
Jim Griffin takes a moment to discuss something with Alex Murdoch before continuing his questioning.
Just very briefly, in your own words, you tell the jury what you believe Alex's relationship was with Paul.
I think they had a very good relationship. They loved all the same things. They loved to hunt. They loved to fish. They loved to work the land. I think the plan was for Paul to take over Moselle one day. And they had a great father-son relationship.
And in your own words, can you tell the jury what you believe Alex's relationship with Maggie was?
It was good. It wasn't perfect, but Maggie was happy. And I think she was happy.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
With that, Jim Griffin concludes his cross-examination of Ms. Proctor. Prosecutor Creighton Waters begins his redirect of the witness.
Maggie called you on the afternoon of June 7th, 2021. She reported to you that her whole purpose for going home was to go with Alec to visit Almeda. Is that correct?
Jim Griffin objects on the grounds that Waters is leading the witness. Waters rephrases his question.
What did Maggie tell you her whole purpose was in going home and Alec wanting her to come home on June 7th, 2021?
She was going home to be with Alec and visit his parents at Almeda.
Such a point of contention that you actually encouraged her to go.
I did.
You testified about Alec not being focused on trying to figure out who killed Maggie and Paul, and then something happened in September, is that right?
Correct.
And that changed for you as you started to look at the motive, is that correct? That's what you just testified, correct?
Correct.
And in September, you got fired from the law firm, right?
Correct.
And it started to come out about years and years of theft and misappropriation from clients, is that correct?
Jim Griffin again objects on the basis that Waters is leading the witness. Judge Newman sustains the objection.
What came out in September that changed your calculus?
Jim Griffin again rises to object, this time on the grounds that Waters is exceeding the scope of the defense cross-examination. Judge Newman overrules the objection and allows the question.
We were on our way to a football game and we received a phone call that from a friend of ours saying how sorry they...
Jim Griffin again rises to object on the basis that this subject matter has not been ruled upon. Judge Newman instructs the jury to leave the courtroom so the prosecution and defense may make arguments pertaining to the objection.
Nature of the objection.
Your Honor, she was about to testify that she had heard about the roadside shooting. The state has not gone into the roadside shooting yet. Your Honor's not ruled on whether that's admissible or not. We object to under 403 as to being admissible. And the substantively, that is the objection, evidence of the roadside shooting. It just opens up a whole new avenue of issues. Secondly, what she knows thus far would be hearsay, which is a technical objection, but certainly we object to any evidence of the roadside shooting.
Your Honor, at this point, of course, this is responsive to a question that was raised on cross-examination by Mr. Griffin, in which she testified something happened in September. So for that reason, just to begin with, I believe that door is opened as to her to explain what it was that changed that period in time, which was the nature of my question to her. Additionally, I think if we look beyond that, there is a connection, if we want to talk and have in-camera hearing about her answer and about 403 and 404, there is a logical connection between what happened in the roadside shooting and what happened on June 7th, 2021. And that connection is, of course, that the evidence will show that as the temperature increases, as there's a confrontation for Alec Murdoch, then things like this happen. And that's what happened on September. But as it relates to this specific witness, this was an answer that came up during the defense cross. And it's fair to explore with this witness now what changed in September, which she's already testified to, from a defense question.
And what was the question that prompted the response that you now indicate opens the door for this? Yes.
So in that that particular question and in her response, he asked her, and he had been, of course, engaging in great detail about the family relationship and that sort of thing, and put up a picture and all the rest of it, and asked her about her assessment at that particular time, and she went in and started to explain that, and he was specifically asking about Alec being concerned about clearing Paul's name in the boat case. And then she explained further that, and he asked her if that was any big deal. And then she went on to explain her answer. And that's when she talked about how everything changed in September. And that was what I was exploring, what happened in September, which has been testimony before this jury. And I think now fair game for them to understand what happened in September.
All right. Yes, sir.
Your Honor, that was not the question.
What was the question? That was my question to Mr. Waters, and he's explained a whole lot. I don't know if he responded to my question. Maybe you will. What was the question that you posed that generated the response about her concerns and her concerns changing?
The question that I asked related to her, I said, you testified previously that you didn't believe Alec was concerned about finding out he did this, or more concerned about clearing Paul's name. And then she says, well, it seemed odd he wasn't concerned about finding out who did this. And I said, why do you think he was not concerned? And then she goes into testifying, well, initially we thought it was the boating accident. And then after September, we thought perhaps it's something completely different. And I mean, I was exploring her testimony on direct, and she offered up the issue of the roadside shooting. So I didn't ask anything about the roadside shooting, Your Honor. I was asking her why she thought Alec was not trying to, what was the basis of her belief that Alec wasn't trying to find out who did this?
All right, Mr. Waters.
And I apologize if I wasn't more clear. I don't remember the specific question, but
we have court reporters. We'll have Ms. Harris, if you'll go back a bit to Mr. Griffin and his questioning of Ms. Proctor. And solely consumed about the, I don't know how far that was, Maggie being consumed about the boating accident, and it's not too far back from there on up to where you are now.
The court reporter now reads back from the transcript of Ms. Proctor's testimony, where she asserted that because the entire family was living in fear after the murders, she thought that Alex Murdoch's priority should have been to find out who killed Maggie and Paul, instead of focusing on clearing Paul's name in the death of Mallory Beach.
All right, Mr. Waters.
Your Honor, again, these were in direct responses to his question as he was exploring her statement about his concern on the boat case. And in fact, the reference to September was actually in response to a follow-up question that the defense continued down that line of questioning. That answer has now come out, and I think that that the witness, again, is entitled and is fair game at this point before you.
So what changed in September?
What she meant by that. Yes, sir. What she meant by that.
And what changed in September?
So we received a phone call from a friend of ours who said he was so sorry to hear about my brother-in-law. And the call came in to my husband, Bart. And Bart said, what are you talking about? We don't know anything. And he said, well, your brother-in-law's been shot. We literally stopped the car, pulled over on the side of the road. And it was just the worst feeling in the world, because I thought whoever had killed Maggie and Paul had now shot Alec, and I was horrified that Buster was next. So we made a phone call to Buster, and Buster said his dad had been shot, but that he was okay. He was on his way or in the hospital at that time, I can't remember. And then at some point, and I'm not sure, I think I was in shock. At some point, we spoke with Jim Griffin that day. And he told us that, yes, Alec had been shot, that he had been fired from the law firm because he had been caught stealing money.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Again, that's her explanation, and I believe that's fair game in this particular instance to this particular witness's testimony that had come out on cross-examination. And I probably would have one follow-up additionally I should mention as well. I think there's two other matters that probably we should explore while the jury's out, in fairness to the other side and in court, that I wanted to inquire that were in reference to cross-examination. Those are different issues. I was going
into them. Tell me what they are. So.
Sure. There were obviously extensive cross-examination about the family relationship, and there's been extensive evidence offered by the defense on cross about the family relationship. And there were two questions I was going to ask her about fidelity concerns, and also the Maggie and the family wrestling with opioid abuse and pill usage by the defendant. Those have been issues that Maggie had wrestled with and had expressed to her.
All right, Mr. Griffin.
Well, as to the, I don't know if you want me to address the roadside shooting, but that certainly, I mean, that opens up Pandora's box at 404B. They want to introduce the roadside shooting as motive. How can you have motive after the fact? And so it's not admissible. It should not be admissible under 403. But just what she says is not that harmful, but they're not going to stop there, Your Honor. And I did not open the door. I said,
you're probing her about Alex's fears. Doesn't Alex, were you aware that he started carrying a gun? Well, he always carries a gun in his car. No, but then he started carrying it in his pockets. So you're having her, cross-examining her to suggest that Alex was living in fear, as evidenced by the fact that he continued or started carrying a gun, not in his vehicle, but on his person. And she, in her response, says, well, I never, didn't appear to me that he was living in fear. I didn't know anything about that and responding to you until in September when this occurred for whatever reason. Now, with the truth of what occurred, she's not testifying as an investigator. She said she heard he'd been shot. And that gave her, changed her reason for concern in some way, whatever that might be, I don't know. Did you still have a reason for concern? Are you about Alex's safety, or did it, was it changed? Was it altered?
That day and for some time after that, we were very concerned for the family. We felt like someone was after them, but then we started finding out about other things that had been going on in Alex's life.
And this is in part based on your conversation with Mr. Griffin?
This is everything that has come out since then.
Did you say that you had a conversation with Mr. Griffin?
That day that we found out that Alec had been shot, we did have a conversation with Mr. Griffin.
And Mr. Griffin told you that he'd been fired and that he'd been caught stealing money.
Correct.
That's just hearsay.
Well.
Absolutely hearsay.
What kind of quandary does that put you in? You going to be a witness as well?
Well, it is. That's a hearsay statement, Your Honor. Without a doubt, it's classic hearsay.
Well, this, the basis for her fear or not having fear, which is something you, or fear or believing that Alex was in fear, that's something that you were probing. Aside from that issue, how about the family relationship issue, fidelity, opioid abuse concerns?
Your Honor, with regard to fidelity, I mean, we can hear what she says about it, but the evidence, as I understand it, is 10 or 15 years ago, I don't know how long ago, but it was more than 10 years ago, there was some issue about someone that Alec had known in college reaching out to him. Maggie got angry about that. They had a
conversation. Reaching out to him 15 years ago or recently?
Yes. Yes. And that Maggie got mad, angry about it. Contacted the woman's husband, who says, it's not true. I know who she's seeing because I have a private eye on her. That led to a divorce.
You're now referring to a 15-year-old conversation.
Yes. And then the opioid stuff, Your Honor, is, I'm not sure what information she's going to share about that, frankly.
Well, you had one earlier witness read a letter about him being in rehab.
That they introduced, yes, sir.
That you published.
It's already in evidence, Your Honor.
Well,
over objection.
Go ahead, Mr. Waters.
With the issue of the first matter, I think it's certainly a fair question to say, did Maggie ever express to you any concerns? Were there ever any concerns and issues with the defendant's fidelity? I think that's clearly in response to the extensive evidence been offered by the defense.
You said, has she ever, such as 15 years ago?
Well, I think that my follow-up question would be, was that something that remained in Maggie's mind over the years up until...
And she would know that.
I think that if I asked her that question, she could express an answer to that. Yes, sir.
No, what is the answer to that?
It was an affair that happened, or Maggie thought it was an affair that happened many years ago. They were able to resolve the issues, but Maggie still brought it up.
Recently is when?
A year ago. She did not think anything was going on. She just, it still bothered her.
During when that event occurred, did she make Alec leave the household for a period of time?
She did.
Frame when this happened.
I mean, well, I understand. 15 years ago, or
how long ago was that?
It was a very long time ago. I'm not sure. A very long time ago.
I think again, I'm not trying to make it bigger than it is, but I think given the issues that have been squarely in front of the jury, the state's entitled, at least in a limited fashion, to offer this some testimony in this regard that you know that there everything was not perfect as the defense has repeatedly. Elicited. And so on that particular issue, I only propose a limited question that, you know, had Maggie ever had any concerns about fidelity and had those concerns continue to bother her? And that would be the extent of my proposed examination of her on that issue.
Anything else?
It's 2007, is our understanding. 2007, 15 years ago.
Well, yeah, 2007 was 15 years ago, yeah.
And that's when it occurred?
Well, that's been established. Give me something new.
Well,
other than repeating 15 years ago.
Not admissible under 403. Unfair prejudice outweighs the probative value of this. Whether it still bothered her, I mean, she testified that they weren't without their problems like all married couples, but they had a good marriage. I mean, it's been addressed, and it's highly inflammatory.
That's why your questions have to not lead into things that might be inflammatory. We're going to be in recess for about 15 minutes.
With Judge Newman calling for a recess, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as Judge Newman renders his decision on whether he will allow Ms. Proctor's testimony regarding the change in her perception of the defendant's state of mind. We will then conclude our review of Ms. Proctor's testimony, and we will cover the testimony of her husband, Barton Proctor. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast, Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And, if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page. You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.